What is a gemstone? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Thought for Today. What is a gemstone? Well, wouldn't you like to know? Wouldn't you like to know? Wouldn't you like to know what a gemstone is? Well, a gemstone is a stone that has value in itself. It is intrinsic value in the nature of itself. A diamond has value in itself. A ruby, you know, all the other stones. Well, now, every stone has value, and every stone has a purpose. Now, what are the purposes of the various stones? We could give you a catalog of stones and tell you all of the purposes for which they are existing and for which they carry out their mission. But that is not correct. Whatever we would write down about whatever a stone is or whatever its value is or whatever its mission is independent of the stone. The stone is just an object. Many people have taken a stone and given it a very great value and very great purpose. That's the diamond. We think that the diamond is so precious and so rare and so wonderful because it is so powerful and is made under such great pressure underneath the earth at some point in time. And so we think that the diamond is a very precious stone, merely because it also is not very available. Now, other stones are not available, like the opal in Australia. The opal is a very special stone, and it has a history behind it of how the peoples of Australia, how the natives of Australia, found the opal and worshipped it and felt it had great intrinsic value in it because it was such a glorious stone to look at. And we have others, diamonds and rubies and gemstones that are not necessarily so valuable. And of course gold is a stone, but it's more of a powder, but it's a stone. And it is a valuable piece of mineral. And all the stones are minerals. All the stones are made up just of mineral matter itself. Now, what is it that makes a stone have a certain value? Well, a stone has a certain value because a stone is a thought. And a stone is a thought by whomever it is who looks at the stone. Now, when you look at a stone, you say, pretty stone. Or you say, stone, nothing, you know. Maybe it's got some dust on it and you can't see how pretty it is. Maybe you see an old box of jewelry and you look at the box of jewelry that's dusty and you say, can't be of much value, you know. And Ingeborg came out today with a box full of earrings and other things that she has collected over the last 1,000 years. And she showed them to us and she said, what do we have here? And I said, all good. All good. All the stones she has are combination stones. They're not pure. They're bastards, you know. They're stones that have many backgrounds to them. And that makes them perfectly acceptable. Once a stone becomes purified, like a ruby, or an opal, or a diamond, once it becomes purified and has no impurities in it, then what happens to it? It all depends on who is handling it. Now, the kings in their crowns had all of these wonderful stones. They were put in there by gemstone finders or makers, and they gave them to the king. Well, now, these gemstone people who found these stones, they certainly were not wealthy people, but they gave it to the king. And the king, by his opulent nature, made it a wealthy stone. And the king says that every ruby and diamond and every pearl and every lovely stone, even a pearl is mineral stone, every stone has a story behind it. So, it was the astronomers spent time looking at the stars and seeing where they were in the sky. Hours and hours and hours they'd look at the stars, and they'd see where the planets and stars were and how the sun and moon interacted with one another. And they spent hours and hours of very brilliant men of high intelligence who were looking at them. Well, we don't know about this, but it's true. Men of very high intelligence, men who were researchers into the thoughts of minds of man, created a trilogy on stones, on gemstones. And they brought to us stories about gemstones. Now, you've heard of the curse of the mummy. Mummy that was found in a pyramid in Egypt and brought out, and the curse of the mummy got through to people and made everything very bad and very, very negative. Well, that's just a story. That's just a story. It's a story that's passed down by people who wanted to pass down a story. They were creative people giving a story to the future, just like the father giving the story on the Big Bang Theory to his children and having it ending up as being a theory that all the world has espoused. Now, we can put our imperator on these valuable gemstones also if we wish, but it's just an unnecessary doing. Anita was telling us that some of the early tribes in, what was it, New Zealand? And the Maori tribes, and what was the stone they liked?
Jade, ponamu.
Jade what?
Jade.
And what did you say?
Ponamu.
Ponamu. They called it ponamu. And they worshipped the jade. Now, why did they worship the jade? Was it because it was so readily available? Or was it because it was sparsely available? Not too much. And who was the jade given to? Was the jade given to the princes, the priests? Or was it given to the virgins who were thrown to their death with the jade necklaces on their neck? What was the representation of the jade? The jade represented a matter of possession. It represented a matter of appeasement with the gods, a matter of oneness with the eternal verities, so that they would do nice things for the people. And this is true in many cultures, not just the people in New Zealand, the early people in New Zealand, and the current people. But what did become a very negative thing was the possession. And the possession made that a very terrible thing. For as the jade was possessed, it took on an essence that was really quite negative. And as we read about it in the dictionary, we notice that is only too true. Now, in the dictionary, a jaded experience is a negative experience. A jaded lady is a negative lady. A jaded man is a man who has a negative past or negative attitudes about him. A jaded life. And the jade itself was something very, very unpopular, but yet it became a precious stone. Now, why was it a precious stone? It was a precious stone because the kings entertained it. It was given to them. But the kings didn't realize that the people who gave them these pieces of jade were wishing ill for the kingdom. And the kingdom that had the most jade was the kingdom that was the least successful as a reigning kingdom in the land. And the king was easily subverted, easily taken down from his throne. And if you would read a little bit of history and find out how the jade was used and how the jade was planted in these various kingdoms by warlords who wanted to destroy the country, because people worked in mental attitudes in the early days as well as today. We think that it's only now that we know that thoughts are things. Thoughts are things. Oh, wow, 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 wow. We think, what a wonderful thing to know that thoughts are things. Well, that's been known forever. That's been known from the beginning of time. Man knew from the beginning of time. And the Bible even spoke about it so relevantly and prevalently by saying, and God spoke his word, and the earth was there. And the parting of the waves, and the sun and the moon for night and day, and all things that this great and wondrous entity created were what?
Good. Very good.
You see, and that was it. Now, did this entity create any gemstones? Oh, sure. Lots of them. But did they put any lust on the gemstone?
No.
And you see, that was done by the thoughts of men. Mm-hmm. That was done by the thoughts and the mind. Why is it that you don't like snakes? Because in the Bible, in the first chapter, there were second chapter, there we're taught that the snake, the serpent, which was another man, and that was his name, Serpent, came up to Eve and said, hey, you can eat of that tree. It tastes pretty good, too. And so she ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which was a thought that she shouldn't do. And so what happened to her? What happened to her? She lost her balance. She lost her balance. Now, what were the minerals that were in the apple? What were the seeds of the apple? What was the body of the apple? What was the redness of it? It was the first evidence of the ruby, of the great ruby that was to be revealed later. And what did the ruby mean in all cultures? The ruby meant royalty. It meant the royal crown. It meant the royal king. And it meant good. And any king who had rubies in his crown or on his finger or what have you, was a good king. And this has come down through all of history like this. And then there are other gemstones that when they have them, they're not very, very nice. We saw the girl who was a fairy tale, and her mother-in-law was a witch, and she appeared out of the sewer and the streets.
Oh, Enchanted.
Oh. Well, if you remember the jewelry that was in Enchanted, remember the jewelry that the witch had, all these things, and what came out of that jewelry? Great energy. And what was the jewelry that produced the greatest energy? The diamond. The fire in the diamond was that stone which the would-be queen was using as a power to accomplish what she wanted to accomplish. Now, we all think that diamonds are so wonderful and that everybody has diamonds because, you know, they're so good for us. But the diamonds are what keep us on a very low level of consciousness. And they keep us on a low level of consciousness because we think that diamonds are valuable. Now, why would we think diamonds are valuable, and why does that put us on a low level of consciousness? Because it doesn't make us use our thought. It makes us want to bargain with a diamond. We go to a girl and we give her a diamond ring and we say, will you marry me? We don't go to her and say, I love you just the way you are. And I would love to be the ideal husband in your life. Would you like to be the ideal wife? I mean, is that worth more than any diamond or any gemstone that is on the face of the earth? But no, we give a stone. We barter with the woman. We say, I'm giving you a gemstone here. I want you to marry me. And so then what does he do? He obligates you to following through because he gave you this gift. Now, what if he had said to you, I am the ideal husband, and I want an ideal wife. Are you an ideal wife? And you say, yes, I'm an ideal wife. Now, could you say that? Could you say that to anybody? You just give them a diamond, and you manipulate them. Now, why is it that we have rings that have always been made out of gold? The gold ring was always the ring for marriage, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And now the gold ring has gone out of style. The other rings have come in, titanium and other things that are supposed to be so great, silver and what have you. And why have we gone away from the gold standard? Why have we gone away? We've gone away from it because we have gone away from the principle which gold stood for. What does gold stand for as a gem?
It's goodness, yeah? Good as gold.
Good as gold. Gold stands for purity. Gold stands for integrity. Gold stands for honesty. Gold stands for all these things. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Now, isn't it interesting how Art, our neighbor here, tells us that he has at the bottom of his tank from his well quite a bit of gold. And he has saved some of the gold that has come in the sand from his well. And he showed it to some gold collectors, and they said, wow, that's really a heavy portion of gold to a portion of material. Now, how could that come out of his well? How could it go into his tank? How could it be there and him not noticing? But you see, did you notice what Art said when he told us about it? Art said, it didn't really matter. He says, I don't care about going in there and picking it up and collecting it. It doesn't really matter to me. He had no interest in going in there and collecting it. No interest. He said it would be worth maybe how many $1,000?
Oh, yeah.
$5,000-$6,000 or more for that gold. And yet, he didn't even want to go in and get it. Interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's that all about? What's that all about? What was it that you saw when you looked into Art's eyes? Did you see on his face and in his eyes the reflection of the pure quality of his nature, the gold of his nature? Did you see that he was pure gold itself? Now, could gold that he has as a mineral be any more effective than the gold he has as his spiritual quality, as a reflection of who he is? Now you say, wow, everyone should have gold. Well, what is the standard of the United States? The gold standard. It has as the standard of its wealth and value gold. For every portion of money that it prints, it has that amount of money in gold in Fort Knox, because that represents its integrity. But the United States has drifted away from that. It has a lot of gold, but it has not got gold for all of its printed money. So the value of the United States is little by little sinking because its integrity is not upheld by the gold that it should have behind it. Now you say, really? How interesting. Now, what about the turquoise that the American Indians have used? What about the turquoise or the jade that the tribes of the Hawaiians have used, and they've used for bracelets and necklaces and so forth? What about those things? What do they do? Well, every tribe that has ever had this has been destroyed. The Hawaiian nations have been completely wiped out. They're there as a symbol, but no more. The American Indians who worshipped jade and who had it as their gemstone have been wiped out. And who is left? A few people who would like to hold on to that tradition, but cannot hold on to that tradition because they're not holding on to the principle that the tradition is supposed to be. The tradition is not the jade itself, but the tradition is supposed to be integrity, honesty, purity, and goodness. And the people who worship the turquoise, who worship the jade, are not recognizing that this is not the thing they want to worship. They want to worship integrity and honesty, not the stone itself. And because they have worshipped the stone, they have forgotten what is behind it. Just like those in New Zealand who worship the stone and are only given permission to unearth it if they are a member of the tribe. And so they're forgetting the value of the stone. The stone no longer has any value. It's merely that they got a special privilege to do it while others can't. Well, how fortunately that the others cannot do it. Because the stone itself has come up upon a very bad name. Just like the opal has come up upon a very bad name, and it has come up as a very difficult stone to mine in Australia. And the people who mine it are living very difficult lives. What happened in the mining of gold? There was gold strikes. And they would have a strike of gold that was absolutely fantastic. Hart told us a story about this man who wanted to walk up and down the United States from north to south here on the West Coast. And he did it pretty much. And at one point, his boys wanted to come and walk a little ways with him. And so they did. And he took them out on a walk. And he and one son sat on a large stone talking to the sons, and they were playing around. And as they did this, their fingers accidentally brushed off some of the moss that was on the stone. And the father was telling the boys about the value of gold and how gold was found in California and so on. And the boy said, well, that looks like gold there, the stone that he was sitting on. And the father said, oh, come on now, you know, that's too much. But he looked, and he took his knife and scratched it, and sure enough, it was stone. It was gold. And they went in and reported it, and they had the assayer come out and check it. And what was the value?
$4 million.
$12 million for that piece of stone gold. And they were sitting on it, not even knowing it. Their sons, who were alert to it, saw it. Now, this is the why gold has such an integrity. It has such a beauty. It doesn't say who is to find it. It doesn't say that those who search for it should find it. What does it really say? What does it say, Anita?
It finds you.
It finds you. Now, isn't that interesting? It finds you. Now, this man had such integrity about him, such honesty and such purity, and such a joy to travel over the United States, walk across the western coast of the United States, up and down the mountains, and now he's going to go to Alaska, and he's going to go who knows where next. But to him, it's a great joy. To him, it's a purity. And did this money that would come to him, he got 10% out of it, would it be something that he would just use and then be broke again? No. It wasn't important to him. He gave it to his family. He gave it to his boys for their education. He was not concerned. And you see, when pure gold is found with its integrity and with its purity and honesty intact, magic comes from it. And when it doesn't come that way, then unhappiness comes. And you see, many of the early Hawaiian tribes, they would take their virgins and they would wrap the beautiful gemstones around their neck and their body and then throw them over the cliff to as an appeasement to the volcanic god, the god of nature. And the purposing was all wrong. The direction was all wrong. Many of our South American tribes are much of that same ilk, appeasing the volcanic gods. And how interesting and how strange and how unfortunate. But you see, this is what they do. This is what they do. They do these things and they worship these things, and the stone, the gemstone itself, takes on a very onerous attitude, a very negative attitude, one that is not a blessing at all. And we could go into the books and we could read about all these other stones and what they have done to people and how they have changed their lives in a very negative way. The stone hasn't done that, but the people did it who found the stone, because the stone seems to encourage certain types of mental attitudes. And the ruby, what does it encourage? Royalty. It encourages royalty. What do diamonds encourage? Possession. Money and possession. The person who owns the Hope Diamond, that's the biggest diamond in the world. And how big is it? You and I visualize it as big as your head, but it's not. It's just a big diamond. It may be as big as our peanut butter jar here. But it's a perfectly cut diamond, that big. And it's of infinite value. They can place no value on it. Many people have tried to steal it, but they found that that was very stupid because they couldn't sell it. They'd have to cut it up to sell it, and to cut it up, the very fact that they were with that grand and beautiful diamond, they could not do it. And this is true for us. Now, in each of us is a diamond. And this diamond is so beautiful, so perfect. In the diamond that is in you and in me and in each of us, it has a fire in it that is so brilliant and so by itself, eternally burning, eternally shining rather than burning is a better word for it. It's eternally glowing, eternally shining. And we lose sight of that diamond. We lose sight of that diamond when we become greedy, when we become angry, when we become thoughtless and careless. And then the thoughtlessness and carelessness covers up the diamond in us, and we don't even know it's there. But as we learn to reveal the diamond within us and polish the diamond within us, we are the most significant beings in the universe. Not because we're insignificant in comparison to anybody else, but because we are now the allness. And this is what all stones would like to teach you. That's why the graphite and the granite and all of the other stones that we know about, how abundant they are. And yet, what do we do with them? What do we do with one of the most abundant gemstones that exist? And you say, well, what is that? And I say, coal. Coal. We burn it up. We burn it up. And we don't even stop and think how priceless it is and how universal it is and how wonderful it is. We just burn it up. And it what is it doing to us? It's choking us. It's polluting the environment. Because we have chosen to destroy it, it chose to turn around and destroy the environment. You see, stop and think about it. Nature does these things, but whenever we do anything with any stone, if we hold the tiniest pebble in our hand and call it good, it is good. If we hold the tiniest pebble in our hand and call it evil, then it's evil. It's not the stone, but many stones are a party to more evil attitudes than others. And that's because of what? It's because of the issue that we've made about the stone. We've made the issue that this is a valuable gemstone, something so wonderful. But isn't it interesting? I find it fascinating. I find it very fascinating. You go to a jewelry store to buy a ring, and the ring costs several thousands of dollars. And then you go across the street, and the jewelry store there is having a sale. The very same diamond, the very same carats on it, the very same cutting, the very same attitude to that diamond, exactly the same, and they have cut it 50 to 25%. First it's 75%, then 50%, and then 25%. Now, what are they doing? What are they doing? They're giving diamonds a bad name. Why do you think the diamond merchants like to keep their diamonds under cover? Because the less diamonds they are, the more valuable they are. And how about you? Are you letting your light shine? What would happen if somebody knew how brilliant and valuable the diamond is in you, what would happen? What would happen if you're dying and you died and somebody opened your mouth and saw all the gold there? Do you think they'd take it? Sure. They take it. But when you die with your mouth closed. You know, it doesn't matter after you're dead what happens to the parts of your body. But this is sort of a joke, but it's not really a joke. The thing is, when you shine it out and you let the world know who and what you are, if it's good, then all is good. But if it is possession, manipulation, ownership, if it is in any way taking away the privilege of being yourself and having fun and not recognizing in everyone else being themselves and having fun, then you have a very bad stone. So, today you can make a decision to have only good stones in your life, and the way you do that is to have no stones in your life, to live in your inner purity and your inner integrity. I suggested a while ago that we get rid of all of our pictures, and the more pictures we got rid of, the better, and we just give them away or throw them away. If we have them around, we live in the day of the pictures. And so if we have these stones, we live in the day of the stone. Is the stone truly more valuable than your mind and what you think and who you are? And I say no. The most valuable thing about you is your thought, the divinity within you, the majesty that you are. So, join with me if you like, and go inside and polish that stone, whatever you want to call it, the diamond, and then watch that inner glow shine forth, which is called your charisma. Ever seen anybody with charisma? That they just sparkle and sparkle and sparkle. And you say, wow, they're great, they're super. Why are they multi-billionaires? How did that happen? They let that inner light shine. And all we have to do is let that inner light shine. But we like to use the outer lights. We like to use the outer diamonds and rubies and gemstones, and how foolish we are. If we let that inner light shine, like all successful and dynamic and charismatic people, then we are rich indeed. Try it. It's fun. And know that as you try it, as you do it, I'm right there, backing you up, saying, go, go, go. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you.